We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Dalet. We're in middle of paragraph Hey. In our volumes, it's page 33, all the way on top, the right-hand column on top, the beginning of the page. We're in the middle of a discussion that's based on a paragraph in Sichoi Soran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, paragraph 93, where Rabbeinu Zalveir speaks about a number of topics. One of the topics is a Talmud Chacham, and referring specifically to a Talmud Chacham who is Noikem v'noiter kenochosh, a Talmud Chacham who is strict at certain times. He avenges the honor of Hashem, and he does it like a snake. That's the wording in the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Zal says a Talmud Chacham who does that will also be able to do a number of other things. He'll be able to have the ability to bring light down from a very high level, a level that we refer to as thousands, to bring it down to hundreds. And he mentioned a number of other things. We've been discussing this in the previous year, and now we're continuing that discussion. V'alkein, and therefore, based on what we've learned here so far, HaTalmud Chacham, HaNoikem V'Noiter Kenochosh, a Talmud Chacham who has this ability to show strictness when he needs to take revenge on behalf of Hashem, Bevadai Kavonosoi LaShamayim. His intention is certainly not because he enjoys people putting people down, he enjoys taking advantage of people, he enjoys hurting people, it's got nothing to do with that. His intention is definitely only the honor of Hashem. Leman ho emes levad. He's doing it only for the sake of the real, the true purpose of it. No ulterior motives. No side issues. V'alkein tzorech lihiyos noikem v'noiter kenochosh. And now we'll understand also why the Gemara uses this wording, that he does this like a snake. Hainu ze l'uma ze. This is an example of the good being diametrically opposed to the bad. Toiv l'umas ra, good versus bad. Hainu kemoy hanochosh shehoyo orum, just like the snake shehoyo orum mikoil, who is the shrewdest of all the different animals. Shemimenu kol horamos v'hashkorim v'ksovim sheboilom, and who is the source and the root of all lies and trickery and things like that on the side of evil. K'moy kein mamish tzorech ha-talmud chochom hu amiti lehisnaig bo'emes. In that same manner that the snake operates for the sake of evil, the Talmud Chacham has to use that same methodology sometimes regarding the truth, regarding the right things. Lihiyos noikem v'noiter b'shvil ho'emes, to be strict, to be vengeful, to be vindictive for the sake of the truth. Kedei legalois so'emes bo'ilam, in order to fulfill his most important mission, which is revealing the truth in the world, revealing Hashem, revealing the Torah, revealing the true purpose of life. Kiyesh kamo v'kamo ramos utuyos boilam b'lishir. Because there are countless different types of ways that people are fooled in this world and mistakes that people make about how they go about living. V'kulam nimshochim mizu amas hanochosh. And all of them originate from the impurity of the original snake, Shehoyo Orum Mikoil, who was the shrewdest of all of them. Shemishom Nimshochin Kol Mine Armimius Vahatoyos Varamoz Shalabaldovor. And that's the source of all the trickery and the crookedness and the slyness and the different ways that the Yetzirah fools people in this world. Shehichnis Boilam, which the Yetzirah has introduced into this world, ad shekoshe ma'oid ma'oid lohavin huemes, to the point where it makes it extremely difficult for people to figure out the truth. What's the truth? What's the true purpose of life? What's the right way to live? Ki habaldovor mislabe shatzmoi bekamo drochim. Because the Yetzirah hides himself in a variety of different paths. He's not offering one flavor, he's offering 360 flavors of his agenda. Uvekamo minyanoshim. And he also hides himself in a variety of different people that are representing the Yetzirah. Afilu bigdoilim uksherim, even great people, even religious people. Umate umarama oison bekamadrochim, and the Yetzirah confuses them and he tricks them and he fools them in all kinds of different ways. Ad shecholkim al hoemes, to the point where they oppose the true path of life, the true tzaddikim. Uma'alimin umastirin oisoi, and they cover it up, they hide it. They try to block people from getting to it. Umishom nimshochin kol mine machloikes sheboilam. And this is actually the source of all conflict in the entire world. Bifrat hamachloikes shebein atamidei chachamim, especially the conflict and the disagreements among rabbis. V'chol echad oimer shechofetz bo emes. Each one says that he wants the real truth, he wants the right way. V'afal pikein, and despite all of that, ho emes hu echad. The truth is one, there's one truth. And they can't all be right, they can't all be exactly the same. Even though we know, we've mentioned many times, that sometimes there are different truths for different people. Sometimes a person can come to a rabbi to ask him a question, am I allowed to do this? And he says, no, definitely not. 2 minutes later, somebody else walks into a rabbi and says, am I allowed to do this? The same thing. And he says, of course, nothing wrong at all. And the person says, but didn't you just tell my friend that you're not allowed to do that? The answer is yes. For him, it's forbidden, and for you, it's perfectly okay. But on a bigger level, on a broader level, the ultimate truth, the truth about Hashem, the truth about the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebaalpeh, the truth about the right path in life, is generally one. There's one emes. V'al kein tzorech ha-talmid chacham lihiyos noikem v'noiter kenochosh. And this is why the Gemara uses the wording that the Talmud Chacham has to be vindictive like a snake. Hainu sheyisnaheg im hoemes, mamish kemoi hanochosh, shemisnaheg im hasheker. That the Talmud Chacham sometimes has to conduct himself regarding the truth, regarding the right path, in a similar manner that the snake conducts himself when he markets his stuff. Lekayim im ikesh tispatol, to fulfill the pasuk that says that when you're dealing with somebody crooked, match his crookedness, deal crooked with him. Hainu kemoi hanochosh she'orom mikoil, just like the snake, who is shrewd more than anybody else. Umechase umesavev hoemes, and he covers up the truth and he twists it. Alidei shkorov, through his lies, varama usav, and his trickery, bekama drochim, in all different kinds of ways. Kemoikein yisnaheg ha-Talmud Chacham kenegdoi im hoemes. So too, similarly, the Talmud Chacham has to conduct himself sometimes in a similar manner when he's marketing the truth. V'yisnaheg imohem b'chochma v'yorma, and to deal with them with wisdom and shrewdness, slyness, leman ho emes levad, only for the sake of the ultimate goal, the truth. Kemoi shemisnaig hanochosh bishkorov, just like the snake does that regarding the falseness that he's marketing. So that's one reason why the Gemara uses the wording about a Talmud Chacham being like a snake, meaning to learn the ways of the snake, because there are times that you're going to have to apply it. There are times you're going to have to play his game to use the same strategy, a similar type of strategy to what the snake uses to market his stuff in marketing the truth. We know, for example, just today, in today's times, despite the fact that in Pirkei Avos it says, don't judge a book by its cover, we know today 99% of people judge a book by its cover. They walk into a store, Barnes & Noble, there, they look, they see a cover, and they read what it says in the cover. They look at the picture there, or they read the words in the cover. It looks attractive, interesting. They'll put down $5, $25, and buy the book. They're not going to say, "When can I have 20, 25 minutes to sit down and read the first chapter, you know, to see what it, or even to read the introduction?" Very rare you'll have somebody doing that today. The cover, it's first impressions. A lot is first impression. Lahavdil. When marketing Torah, when marketing Kedusha, it's also important. It's also important that the cover in today's times, that the cover look attractive based on today's standards. Otherwise, you're going to rule out, you're going to eliminate 80% of your audience. If you're looking to reach out to people who are in the world, if you're offering it for scholars, scholars generally are not so impressed by the cover alone. But regular laymen, if you're dealing with the world, you better make sure your cover has the message that you want, is portraying what you're looking for. Now Rav Nosson Zal gives a second explanation as to why the Gemara compares the Talmud Chacham to the snake. Gam kenochosh merames shehatalmud chacham shenoikem venoiter lo yechavein bishvil hanoas atzmoi ukvoidoi klal. Another message in comparing the ways of the Talmud Chacham to the snake is that the Talmud Chacham has to make sure that there's nothing personal in his vindictiveness, that he's not doing this to make himself bigger, to make himself get to gain more self-respect for himself or anything like that, or any personal pleasure in releasing his anger, his frustration by blasting somebody, by insulting somebody, chas v'shalom. Kiim leman ho'emes levad, but rather he's doing it only with real, true motivations, only for the honor of Hashem. V'zehu kenochosh. And this is why the Gemara chooses the term like a snake. Ki omer rabbi senuzal, because our rabbis tell us, shehanochosh ein loy shum hano b'ma shenoyshech. That when a snake bites a person, sinks his fangs into human flesh and draws blood, you would think, boy, the way he does that, he must really enjoy that. It's like biting into a steak, a delicious sizzling steak. Not true. The snake does not taste anything different whatsoever when he bites into human flesh or a piece of meat or a piece of fish than when he's eating dirt. As the rabbis expound on the pasuk, im yishoich hanochosh b'loy lachash, does a snake bite even though there's no personal pleasure in it or anything like that? So just like the snake who is on the side of Tuma, Klipa, who has no pleasure whatsoever, and despite that, he is vindictive. He is a messenger of Hashem who is sent to kill. And even though he has no pleasure, no personal benefit from whatsoever, he does his job. He gets the job done. He bites somebody. He bites this one and bites that one. Kemoikein ha-Talmud Chacham b'Kedusha. So too, the true Talmud Chacham, who is on the side of holiness, tzorech liyos noikem venoiter kenochosh. He has to make sure that whenever he's being strict or vindictive or anything like that, that he's emulating the snake. That there is no intention whatsoever of any personal pleasure or personal benefit in putting the other person down. But rather he's doing it only for the true purpose. Then he qualifies for this honorable title, Talmud Chacham, And then he's one of those people who will be qualified to take very high level light that's referred to as thousands and bring it down so that people can accept, make it more available and accessible to people, to bring it down to the level of hundreds. Because if this Talmud Chacham is on a level that he's capable of being positive, that whenever he does something vindictive, whenever he shows any strictness or sternness, it's only for Hashem's honor, nothing personal in it. And this Talmud Chacham is thereby able to reveal the truth from within falsehood. In this Olam HaSheker, he's able to bring people close to the truth. He's able to show them the truth. He pushes away and rejects the tumah of the snake, which is falseness. Shehu sitra demoisa, which is synonymous with death, the sitra achra. Umesakenu hapegam shel eitz hadas toivora. And he's involved in correcting the damage that was done by the sin of the eating from the eitz hadas. Vazai Hashem yisporach oizer loy, sheyichalei koalofim lameyois. And then Hashem helps this Talmud Chacham to succeed in bringing down the light from the thousands to the hundreds. So that he's drawing the light in a careful, calculated way, so that even people who are on a low level can receive and benefit from the light. So that he succeeds in bringing awareness of the truth of Hashem Bechol hamitzoytzois hanefulim, into all of those fallen sparks, lahachayosam mimisosam, to bring them back to life from their fallen state, bebechinas tchias hameisim, which is also an example of bringing the dead back to life, as we touched on earlier. We're continuing on page 33, paragraph Vov. V'alkein, and based on what we're learning here, we'll be able to understand Ein Edus Pochos Mishnayim, why in a court of law, Torah law, you must have two witnesses to establish the truth. Ki Ikra Ho'edus Tzrichim B'mokoim Shesh Kfira V'akchosha. Because when do we need witnesses to come and testify? When somebody is denying something, when there's some kind of a denial, there's some kind of a disagreement. And then we require two witnesses in order to bring forth the truth from the falseness, to separate what's true from what's false. Ki hasheker hu zuamas hanocha shu sitra demoisa. Because falseness is the tumah of the snake, which is synonymous with death. Because the snake is the one who brought death into the world. Before the snake, man was supposed to live eternally. It was as a result of being convinced by the snake to go against Hashem, that's what brought death into the world. So the false, the snake, who had whose agenda was falseness, he denied that Hashem had ever said this or Hashem said that. He was in total disagreement with Hashem, who is Emes, the truth. So the snake was Sheker, and the snake is death. And as the Gemara tells us, Asra, the Havakori Kushta, that there was a city which was called truth. Kushta is the Aramaic word for truth. Shiloyhoyu Mesim Sham, where the people in that city could live forever. Nobody died inside that city. Whenever it became time for the person to die, the Malach HaMavos had to figure out some kind of way to pull the person out of the city, to get the person to leave the city. In the city, the Malach HaMavos could not operate, because the name of the city was Kushta, truth. And because there was no falseness whatsoever, there were no lies or lying in that city. Ki emes samodechaya, because truth is an elixir of life. V'hasheker lehefech, and falseness is the opposite. Falseness is sinat, leads to death. Ki kol hashkorim sheboilam heim bechinas kfiras. Because all the lies, any time a person lies in this world, it's connected to denial of Hashem. It's connected to atheism. As the Gemara says, kol hamachlif bediburoi, that any person who changes his words, he told somebody yesterday, I'll sell you this car for $3,000. And the next day, I didn't say that. I didn't say three. I said 30. Whatever it is. Ki'ilu oyved avodah zarah. The Gemara says it's as if he worshipped idols. Lying is idol worship, denial of Hashem. Vavodah zarah ukfirus. Shem b'china sheker, shem b'china zuma sanochosh. And idol worship and atheism, which are lies, which are the tumah of the snake. Shehoyo orum mikoil, who is smarter, sharper than everybody. Shepito laodom v'chava b'shkara v'orim yosav, who seduced Adam and Chava with his lies and with his trickery. V'hevi misaloilam, and he's the one who brought death to the world. V'alkein, and therefore, elu edim sheboim lahoid edus emes, these witnesses that are coming to court now to try to establish the truth, to say we saw X, we saw it this way. To try to reveal the truth from this mishmash, from this confusion, from the lies that are going on between these two litigants. Somebody's lying. Somebody's not telling the whole truth. That's why we require at least two witnesses. Ki yefshir legaloi sulavar hoemes mitoy hasheker, kim al yidei bechinas chalukas alofim lameyos. Because as we explained earlier, it's impossible to reveal the truth from within the falseness unless you have the ability to bring down the light of thousands to bring it down to hundreds. Shezeo bechinas tchias amesim. We had said that that's synonymous with the ability to bring the dead back to life. Dahainu, al yedei shemamshichim ho'er, al yedei tzimtzumim v'chalokim. This is the concept of being able to bring light in with proper constriction, with proper dividers. Shaydei ze oisin kelim legaloi samita selkusis borach, Shmoy, by which we're creating vessels and pipes through which can be revealed the truth of Hashem. Sheze ikar shoyre shoemes. That's the ultimate source of all truth. Vaideze mechayim kol hanitzutzai sagdoshim. And through this we inject life into all of those holy sparks that have fallen into the tumah. Sheheim bechinas nekudas hoemes. They represent these particles of truth, shenoflu l'toich hasheker, which have fallen into the tumah, into the falseness. Umevararin hoemes mitoich hasheker. And thereby we're involved in separating and clarifying the truth from within the falsehood. Veloze tzrichim shnayim dafka. And this requires two specifically, because there's a pasuk in Koheles that says ki toivim hashnayim in hoechod, that two are usually better than one. Ki kol mokam shiyesh shnayim yesh lohem koyach yoiser lechale koer bebchinas chalukas alof nameyos. Because whenever you have two, you have a better chance at dividing, breaking down the light from the level of thousands into the level of hundreds. Why? Because this is a very important rule, and we explained it earlier, we touched on it earlier. shelamalo ho'or bebechinas alofim, that way up on high, on the highest spiritual levels, there the light is in the thousands. Ulamato, whereas when we come down, hu bebechinas meyos, it's in the form of hundreds. Ukemoshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, chose haves, you saw the atik yoimen yisiv, and kaviyochel Hashem was sitting. The term atik yoimen refers to the highest level of Hashem kaviyochel. The highest spiritual levels were sitting. Elef alfin yishamshune, thousands upon thousands were serving him. Veriboy rivivon, and tens of thousands. Kilamalo bebchinas atik, hakoil bebchinas alofim. Because up there, on the highest levels of Kedusha, when we speak about those highest levels, there everything is in the thousands. Ukamashikosu be'idra rabba, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, in one of the deepest shiurim that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave to his students. It's called the Idra Rabba in Parshas Nosoi. It says there, Tana, we learned, Begalgalto Dereisha, on the level of Hashem that's referred to as the skull, the head, Elef Alfin Riboy, there's thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, Veshiva Salofin V'chamesh Meyor, and 7,500, Koitza Desara, in each tip of the hair, in each end of the hairs, there's that many. There's thousands and tens of thousands. Umevoyer b'hamaforshim, and the commentaries on the Zohar HaKadosh explain, shekol ma shehoor lamalo yoyser elyon, that the more we refer to a higher level spiritual light, hu bebechinas revovois v'alofim, it's in the tens of thousands and in the thousands. Ulamato, however, when it spirals down, when it comes way, way down, nismait, it shrinks, it becomes smaller, ad shebo lebechinas meyos, until it comes into hundreds units. Ayin Shom, look over there in the Idra Rabba, in the commentaries there, how they explain this. Vezeh bechinas, and this is what's referred to in Shira Shirim, when it says, ho elef lecho shloimoi, a thousand to you, Shlomo, umosayim lenoitrim espirioi, and 200 to those who guard his fruit. The word Shloimoi refers to King Solomon, but the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh, all of them say that Shloimoi is also a nickname for Hashem. Hashem is called Melech Shehasholem Shloi, the king to whom all peace is his. Peace is his. So Shloimoi is a code word for Hashem. Ho elef lecho Shloimoi melech shasholim shloi. This refers to Hashem. Shom lemala, upstairs, up there by Hashem. Ho oyer bebechinas alofim. The light is in the form of thousands. Umosayim lenoitrim espirioi, but 200 to those who guard his fruit. Heim hatzadikim. This refers to the tzaddikim down below, hashoimrim umekaimim es haTorah, who guard the fruit of Hashem. They uphold the Torah. They keep up the Torah. Sheheim zoichen lekabel esor bebechinas mosayim. They are privileged to receive the light in a manner that they can handle it. 200. Sheheim meyos, which is two, is the minimum of a plural, hundreds. Hainu sheheim zoichem lechalek hu'alofim lemeyos. They are privileged to break down the light, to divide it up into hundreds, kedei sheyuchlu hakoyel lekabloi, in order that everybody should be able to receive it and handle it. Their mission, the mission of the tzaddikim, is to give over the Torah to the Jewish people, to the world. They've got to have it in a shape and form that it can be given over. Shezehu ikar hamshochas haTorah. This is the whole concept of bringing the Torah down to the world and passing it along, viyedia samita selikusa boilam, and bringing awareness, consciousness of the truth of Hashem into the world. V'alkein hoitzi b'lishoin lenoitrim. And this is why, interestingly, in Pirkei Avos over there, it uses the word noitrim. Noter means to guard, and noiter also means revenge, taking revenge. L'rameis ala talmidei chachamim hanoikmim v'noitrim. This is hinting to those rabbis who the Gemara refers to in another place, who Rabbi Nachman refers to in Sichron, those rabbis who are noikim venoiter. They're vindictive. They know that they're vindictive when they have to be. They know boundaries. They know somebody crosses a certain line, bang, he gets it right between the eyes. They have this ability, this tzimtzum, this koyach of tzimtzum, boundaries, lines, drawing lines. Shehei mechalkim hoalofim lameyois. They're the ones who succeed at breaking down the light from thousands to hundreds, making it in bite-sized pieces so that the Jews can relate to it and appreciate it. We know many times there are Sifrei Kabbalah, especially Sifrei Kabbalah, and even Sifrei Chassidus, which when most people open them, they're blown away. They can't relate to it. They can't understand it. And if they do understand it a little, they have no way of digesting it, of processing it. And there are other tzaddikim that had the ability to take those same deep concepts and bring it down, down, down in a way that people can relate to it, can understand it, can know how to actually apply it. Especially this forum of Rabbeinu Zal and his students. Paragraph Zion. V'chol nishmois Yisrael sharosham ba'Torah kiyadua. We know that all of the Jewish souls are rooted in the Torah. Yesh, the word Yisrael is yesh shishim riboy oiseis la'Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 basic souls. V'alkein shoyresh kol haneshomois lamalo hu bebechinas alofim. And therefore, the source at its place of origin of the Jewish souls upstairs, it's in the form of thousands. Vishom kol haneshamois echad, and up there, all the Jewish souls are one. Ach kishenem shochem lamato, it's only when they come down into this earth, to this world, iefsher lahamshichon. It is impossible to bring these souls into this world unless you have the ability to divide, to separate the thousands into hundreds. And then each and every individual soul comes down to this world to its proper location, laguf hashayach lo, into the body that it's supposed to go into. The whole avodah sodom, and the whole life mission of a person in this world, is lahamshich alatzmoi hoer milamalo lamato mibchinas alofen meis, is to draw light from above, to draw spirituality, light, heavenly light from above, to bring it down in the from thousands to hundreds. Mibchinas, as the Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Chumash where Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, V'ato, and now, Mo Hashem Elokech Shomach. What is Hashem asking of you? What is Hashem asking? That word Mo, what? The Gemara says, Al Tikri Mo, don't read it Mo, Elo Meo. Read it Meo, which means 100. That's what Hashem is asking of us. He's asking us for 100. He wants us to deal in hundreds. Ki oyer ho alofim. Watch how Rav Nosson Zal explains this now. Ki, the word mo in Hebrew means what, and the word mo is also used to refer to infinity. What meaning something that has no boundaries. What is it? When I can describe something, when I can define something, I know what it is. When something is above my ability to define it, what is that? What? What means it's beyond my ability, my world of definitions. So Rav Nosson Zal says, ki oyer ho alofim, because that heavenly light, where it originates, which is in the thousands, hu etzleinu bebechinas ma, To us earthlings, that light is what? We have no way to relate to it. Kiev shelasigoy, we cannot understand it. We can't process it. Avlal yedei avoida sodom. However, by a Jew putting in the effort that he's supposed to put into, bifrat al yedei tfilos, especially by praying to Hashem a lot, shehu bechinas brochois vehoidois, and we know that a major part of our prayer is blessings and praising Hashem. Bechinas mea brochois bechol yoim. Just like the Gemara derives from that pasuk, that a Jew is supposed to strive to make 100 blessings every day. This is an example of how we draw that light of thousands into hundreds, into the 100 blessings that we say every day, those brachas that we make every day. We're putting it into words. We're taking Hashem, which is infinite, and we're making him finite. We're putting it into these specific brachas. Baruch atah Hashem alkeinu melechem ba'er pri ha'etz. I'm attaching Hashem to a tree, not to the ground, not to chocolate. I'm connecting Hashem to a specific finite item. Umechabrim ho elef im ma, we're attaching the elef, the thousand lights, and the ma, the what, venase mea, and we're making it into mem aleph hey mea, 100, these hundreds units, these 100 blessings. V'cholze, and what is this all about? Kedei legaloi samitoso yisborach, to reveal the truth of Hashem. At sheyedu oisoy gam horechoikim oid, to the point where even people who are far away from Hashem will know about him. Which people, what are we talking about here? Shehim hanitzoitzois hamunochim lamatam oid. Even those holy sparks, which from the time of Adam Rishon have fallen down, way, way down into the Tumah, even they will be made aware. Kal yidei ha-tzimtzum v'ha-kelim shenasim al yidei b'chinas chalukas alof ha-meis, because through this ability to constrict and to form vessels, boundaries, vessels to contain it, take that thousands and contain it into the hundreds, this is an example of taking the light of truth, the light of Hashem, and bringing it into the world in a with moderation, in a way that people can handle it. And by doing it this way, it allows us even to enlighten those people who are furthest away from Hashem, to enlighten them about Hashem. Vaydeze machnien umevaran hasheker, and through this we defeat and eliminate the lies, the falseness. Umegalen umevaran huemes mitoch hasheker, and we reveal and clarify the truth, even among the sheker, even in this world of falseness and everything. Vechein kol ma shemevaran umevatlan hasheker, and so too, the more that we work at this, the more that we work at getting rid of and eliminating the lies, the falseness, umalin hoemes mitoy hasheker, and we bring forth the truth from within this environment of lies and falseness and everything, aydeze yecholin lasois kelim, this gives us the ability to create vessels lahamshicho or lamata, to bring the light of Hashem down, bebechinas chalukas salof lameis, breaking down the thousands to hundreds. Ki ho beho talia, because these two are dependent on each other. The issue of bringing the light from a very high level, breaking down to lower levels, and the replacing of falseness with truth. Those two go together. The more you succeed at this, the more you're going to succeed at that, and vice versa. Ukemuvon biksovim, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal in Sifrei Kabbalah, she'i'efsher lohoilid ulahamshich hamoichim, that it is impossible to produce, to give birth to, and to bring seichel, enlightenment, into existence, Shehem Oir Amitas Yedios Yisborach, which is especially the light of the truth of Hashem, Kim Al Yedei Shemavarin Umalin Hanitzoitzois Meim Keaklipois. Unless you first go down, all the way down into the dirt, into the mud, and rescue and elevate sparks that are found there. In order to bring the great light of truth into the world, you have to first rescue, go on a rescue mission to rescue those holy sparks that are in the mud. Bebechinas ha'olas mayin nukvin. In Sifrei Kabbalah, this is referred to as raising up the female waters. We know that when there's a union between male and female, in order for that union to take place, there's preparation. There's different preparation that has to happen. There has to be a preparation of there has to be generated liquid, mayinukvim, in order to prepare them for this union, for this connection. V'chein lehefech. And it works in reverse sometimes also. That i'efsher lahalois hanitzutzois, a person will not have the ability to rescue those sparks that are in the tumah, unless you're able to bring down a very high level light, a light of thousands, to bring it down to this world. You need that level light for this kind of rescue mission. V'alkein, be'emes yesh boze kamo yegiois, be'kamo bechinois, koidim shezoich nazeh. And that's why this takes major, major effort in different directions before a person is able to succeed at this. Another word for this is kiruv, the term kiruv, outreach. There are people think, what's the big deal? A person learns a couple of pages of Gemara, Torah, and he puts on a cap and he becomes an outreach. They give him a sweatshirt that says outreach on. He becomes an outreach professional. He's ready to go into the mud, you know, and so. We know that there's a lot of horror stories, and we hear these all the time, of different people who attempted to do this, and sometimes they themselves got swallowed up by the mud, or sometimes they ended up making things worse, pushing people further away. There's of an incredible variety of mistakes and damage and destruction to be done when dealing with going behind enemy lines, when going into the Sitra Achra. That's one ballpark. And on the other hand, when a person's reaching for the stars, when a person's trying to get that light of thousands, that deep light, also very delicate, not simple. It's not the kind of thing, what's the big deal? You buy the book, Kabbalah books, they're available all over today. Barnes and Noble, Jules, you know, you buy Kabbalah books, so you see the movie, you know, and you're ready to roll. You're a bona fide Kabbalist, and you're ready to make mirror, you know, to do things. And here we're being shown that this is very serious business, that both of these issues, which are dependent on each other, require very great holy tzaddikim, who have the ability, number one, on one hand, to process this high-level light. And it's got to be somebody who can emulate the snake, we said, noikim v'noiter kenochosh. In number one, being shrewd, it takes a lot of shrewdness and sharpness and everything, and it takes elimination of your own personal desires, totally getting rid of personal kavod, anything like that whatsoever. That's on one hand. And then this limud of how to deal with people. Rabbeinu Zal once said that it's easier to elevate 1,000 souls, those people who are dead, of people who are not human beings, people's souls, of people who have passed away, to elevate 1,000 souls is easier than to take one living person who has free choice and bump him up one level on the ladder. To get a human being who has free choice to advance to the next level is more difficult than it is to elevate 1,000 souls who have no free choice, who don't have a body working against them, who don't have the materialistic world pulling them in every direction imaginable. Continuing, paragraph Ches, Nimtzu, we see therefore, Shelemala, that up in heaven, Klal HaNeshamos Heim Bebechinas Alofim. When we speak about the Jewish souls, we're talking thousands. Ulamato, whereas down below on this earth, nechlokim kol echad lemekoymoi, each one comes down in his individual place, bebechinas meyos, in a form that's referred to as hundreds. V'alkein, bechol mispar b'nei Yisrael, hoyo behem alofim u'meyos. This is why you'll note, interestingly, throughout the Torah, whenever we find the Jewish nation being counted, there's thousands and there's hundreds. Hein bechlal, hein befrat. Whether we're counting the entire Jewish nation or even a particular tribe, even the 12 tribes. It was never a bullseye. This tribe has 62,000. No, it's always thousands and hundreds. Rav Nosson Zal says, Puk ayin v'tishkach b'seif ha-midbar. Open up your chumash, take chumash b'midbar, numbers, which speaks about all the countings, and you'll see. Ki bichlal haminyan, because the general count of the entire Jewish nation, hoya sheish meyoyselef, ushloishes alofim, v'chameish meyoyis v'chamishim. The sum total there that you find usually is 603,550, which Rav Nosson Zal points out in Hilchas Tzitzis is not coincidental, because you have the 600, and 3 plus 5 plus 5 is 13. So the 603,550 Jews correspond to the 613 parts of the Torah, because we said the Jewish nation is wired to the Torah, we're connected to the Torah. So it's 603,550. V'chein b'mispor l'chol degel v'degel. And so too, when they count each one of the flags. Remember, there were three tribes to a flag. Reuven, as we find in the Chumash. Hayu alafim u'meyos. If you take a look, every single flag, three tribes added up to a certain amount of thousands and a certain amount of hundreds. V'chein b'mispar kol shevet v'shevet. And even when they took it down to the next level, each one of the 12 tribes, hayu alofim u'meyos, ayin sham b'kol shevet u'b'chol degel u'b'chlal aminyan. Rav Nosson says, go ahead, take a look at every one of those numbers. V'chein b'mispar ha-leviyim. Now let's take the leviyim who are not included in that count. They're a separate count. B'chlal u'b'frat. So too on a general level, And on a detail level, bekulam hayu alofim umeyas. There were always thousands and hundreds. Lohoyrois, this is to teach us. Shenishmois Yisroel nimshochim lamato al yedei shemamshichim hoor mealofim lameyas v'kanal. That in order for Jewish souls to come down into this world, it requires a bringing down of thousands into hundreds. V'chol ma shemeschabrim Yisroel yoyser. And the more that Jews unite, yesh lohem koyach yoiser, lichloy bebechina salofim, they have more of an ability to plug into those thousands, shehu sharoshem helyon, which is our source up in heaven, ulaham shich mishom ho'or lamato, and to bring down some of that light, some of those thousands, to bring it down below, bebechina chalukas salofim meis, bring down the thousands to hundreds. Ki machmas shehim rabim, because of the fact that there's many, because of the fact that there's 300 people in the shul, or 3,000 people in the shul, v'yesh bohem shinui deyos, and every one of them has different opinions. They're all different. Each one is different in different ways. Shenimshach mebechinas chalukas ha'or lameyos, which is brought about as a result of dividing these thousands into hundreds. So they're not all the same. Everybody has different parts to them. Ki lemalo ein shum shinui. Because way up on high, in the highest spiritual levels, there is no two. There's no change. There's only oneness. V'alkein, ki shom hakoel echad. Because there everything is one. V'alkein, machma shehim rabim. Therefore, when we come down to this earth, when you have many people getting together, and down here on earth, each person is unique, each person is different, they have their own opinions about things. which came about as a result of this light being broken down to different parts, to hundreds. When all of these different people gather together and unite for something holy, to get together, to pray together, to learn together, to go to Eretz Yisrael together, Yesh lohem koyach beyoiser lehikolol b'shiroshem. They have a much better chance and a much far greater ability to plug into their roots, their source, which is the thousands. B'chinas alofim ulaham shicho or lamato, and to bring that light down b'b'chinas meyois in a healthy form, in the form of hundreds. Ki yesh lohem koyach lechalei koer. Because they have the ability to split up the light, to divide up the light, because they are many. A small group can't handle a flood, a large amount. But if you have a lot, the larger the group, go ahead, come on, throw it down, throw it to us, we can catch it. A small group of people try to throw a lot of stuff at them, it'll drown them, it'll blow them away. A large enough group can handle 1,000 gallons, can handle a larger quantity. Exactly. An example of this is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when throughout the entire world, those are the times of the largest gatherings, when Jews who normally are not part of the kibbutz, who normally are not part of the shul, they don't go to synagogues on regular Shabbat, you know, and they all come together on that Rosh Hashanah. That's what makes Rosh Hashanah so big. That's what makes it possible on those days, Rosh Hashanah, to be able to bring down a much greater, brighter light than we can bring down at other times when there's less of a crowd. Again, there's other criteria: faith in Hashem, observance. If all 3,000 people drive to shul and irchas v'shon, because they don't know, in many cases they don't know, then it's not always more effective than a group of 300 people who are observing all the mitzvahs. There's quantity and there's quality. You have to be very careful when you're learning Torah in general. People have a tendency, they learn this page, and now this is the whole Judaism. Now I can make all the decisions I need to make in Yiddishkeit based on this page that I learned. Obviously, that's not going to work. There's a page before this and there's a page after it. Everything is in context. Here, Rav Nosson Zal is focusing on the significance of numbers, the quantity, that there is significance in quantity. But again, somebody will say, oh, okay, then I'm joining the Roman Catholic, because again, the biggest gathering of Jews is 30,000, they have 300,000. You want to talk numbers, they can obviously bring down much bigger light, right? Not necessarily. Each thing within context. We're learning an important piece of information here, which when put together with everything else, a person knows how to, you know, how to process it, how to relate to it. We'll hold it over here.